You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast ahead of a Premier League weekend. Dave Kellner here alongside Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin to take you through the betting for all 10 matches in the Premier League. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Derek McGovern. Derek, how are you, sir?
Very well, chaps. Hope you are the same too.
Happy with Liverpool's point against Chelsea?
No, we needed three, but a bit happier with the performance. There were a bit of worrying signs from Liverpool before that. I mean, when you're losing in quick succession at home to Swansea, Southampton and whoever else it was, I can't remember now. I mean, Wolves, there's big alarm bells sounding. It doesn't get any worse than that. But, yeah, played a lot better against Chelsea.
Tom, Jurgen Klopp screaming in that fourth official's face will live long in the memory.
Well, it will for the fourth official. maybe they restored a little bit of pride, in midweek. But it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of respond from that. I mean, I was interested in that game, but I've also been interested this week. It's felt all 2006 again, chaps, you know, with Peter Crouch and Frank Lampard in the headlines. I've enjoyed a bit of nostalgia this week. I'll be looking forward to Solomon Rondon getting 100 Premier League goals, which should happen in the next few weeks, according to you, Dave. I think he'll have them by the end of the season, won't he?
I think our last winning treble was 2006, wasn't it? It was interesting. What were you talking about, Klopp? Then it wasn't so much the way he looked at that screaming. It was what he said. No one can beat us. And he just come on the back of three defeats at Anfield. What a clown.
On that note, let's get stuck into this weekend's football. We'll start, as we always do, with the televised matches. And I think the feature match this weekend, undoubtedly, is at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea versus Arsenal. Chelsea 19-20 to win the game. The draw is 5-2 with Arsenal 16-5. Enhanced odds. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win was 19-10, now 5-2. And Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win was 9-2, now 6-1. Arsenal beaten by Watford midweek at the Emirates, Tom. I knew it was going to happen. When I said they'll get mauled, Watford, and this could be a bloodbath, there was only ever going to be one result there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I fancied Arsenal to win big in that game. And look, don't get me wrong, Watford played well, but Arsenal were absolutely woeful in that first half. And I'm getting so bored of this Arsenal merry-go-round continuing season after season. It's the same script. It's so tedious. And I'm not even an Arsenal fan, so God knows what the Arsenal fans are thinking, especially the ones that are paying top dollar to go watch it. You cannot trust this side, and you can't trust the manager anymore. I've always been a big Arsene Wenger supporter. You know, I've been a fan of his. But, the last few seasons now, it's the same old problems, and they were so bad. And the problem is, you know, they win 5-0, at Southampton. You know, fantastic result. But then he makes, you know, loads of changes to the team. You're thinking Walcott, Oxlade-Chamberlain, you know, they're flying. The players don't know what's going on. They don't know what the strongest team is yet. There are probably four or five players you think are in the side and they're the ones that are going to be in. Yes, they've had a few injuries and maybe some players haven't played to form. But they were an absolute shambles against Watford. And that is the soft centre it completely exposed for everyone to see. And they turned up in that match and I think they thought they were going to stroll to a victory. So the last thing you'd want after that kind of game is probably a trip to Stamford Bridge. And you know, the game earlier on this season was also that bit of a turning point for Chelsea, wasn't it? Since that game, they've won 15 out of the following 17 matches. They're just unstoppable. 10 wins in a row at home, 32 goals at home during that run. And admittedly, they are coming up against a good side, but they're coming up against a side who don't keep clean sheets away from home. It's 2 in their last 10. Their general form is mixed in the last 8. They've won 4, they've lost 3. There is no way you can be back in Arsenal to get anything in this one. And effectively, I heard Robert Pires and a few other sort of pundits, ex-players saying this week that basically if Chelsea win, the title is over. And nobody seems to take advantage of Chelsea. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a slip-up at Anfield. I think they'd have probably taken the point before that. But nobody can take advantage. Everybody's faltering. And I think Chelsea will hammer a huge nail in Arsenal's coffin. If Arsenal win, you know, they can still say they're in the race. If they lose, they're out of it and it's Chelsea's title. So look, Chelsea for me offer good value here at 19-20. This Arsenal side will not keep a clean sheet. And my selection here would be Diego Costa to score. He's kind of on a drought by his standards. 2 games without a goal. I think he's due one. I think there'll be revenge in the air for Chelsea. And the enhanced odds of Costa scoring Chelsea to win at 5-2 looks great. Nobody's going to beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge this season.
Chelsea actually were odds against yesterday, 21-20 when I recorded the FWA podcast. They've been heavily backed into 19-20 now. Easy to see why, Derek, as well. And when Arsenal get beaten, I always make a note to watch Arsenal fan TV, which I think is absolutely fantastic because their fans can rant like no other. And they were at it again, and rightly so as well, because that was an embarrassing defeat to Watford.
It was. I mean, you just could not see that coming. I mean, Watford have been playing the worst football of anybody in the Premier League, and Arsenal on the back of that 5-0 win against Southampton. I mean, I was the man who tipped Ben Hare in the chariot race and gave David an each-way squeak against Goliath, but I couldn't see that result coming. It was just an absolute shocker, and a shocker of a performance too. But, you know, this is Arsenal, and it's just like Arsenal to follow a performance like that with a champagne performance. It's just them. It's them all over. They are capable of it. And I worry about Chelsea at odds on. 21-20, yeah, it might have been, you know, it might have been touchable. But odds on to beat Arsenal, when I don't think Chelsea were impressive in midweek against Liverpool, yeah, they probably would have taken a point. Tom is right. But it was the manner of their performance. They did not look. I don't know, even though Chelsea are on an unbelievable run, 15 wins and 17 or something like that, there's something about them, I can't put my finger on it, but I'm not sure they're as great as everybody is making them out to be. And I think they're beatable, you know. It doesn't sound like when he won 15 and 17, but that was a poor performance at Anfield. This is a side that could have basically put the title race to bed. And they looked that unambitious. I don't know. I've got a strange feeling about Chelsea here, and I just think Arsenal are a bit too big. Listen, I'm not an Arsenal fan. I'm not an Arsene Wenger fan. I think he's been living on his reputation for about 15 years now. I mean, it's an absolute disgrace that he can manage a team as big as Arsenal, win sod all apart from two FA Cup trinkets, and still have no threat to his job. It's absolutely unbelievable. I can understand why Mourinho and one or two other managers are thinking, how does this guy get such an easy ride? But he does. And I think if he wins this one, you know, all the midweek flack will have been forgotten. And I just think a 3-1. Did you say 3-1? I think it's too big for Arsenal in the Premier League match. 3-1 for Arsenal is too big. And I can't forget the way they demolished Chelsea earlier in the season. I know this is a different Chelsea, but still, they give them a good hiding that day.
It's actually bigger than that, Derek. It's 16-5 for Arsenal to win the game. Chelsea have won 8 successive Premier League home games now, which is their best run since January 2015. And the aggregate score in those 8 games is 24-3 in Chelsea's favour as well. Arsenal the pick for Derek. Difference of opinion here. Arsenal the pick for Derek at 16-5. And Tom going with Chelsea at 19-20. And that enhanced odds offer of Costa to score and Chelsea to win, which is available at 5-2. The tea time kickoff, 5:30, is Tottenham versus Middlesbrough at White Hart Lane. And Spurs are 1-4 to win the game. The draw 5-1 with Middlesbrough, 12-1 enhanced odds. Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was even money, now 5-4. And Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 18-1. That's been enhanced to 20-1. A Derek, disappointing result for Spurs at the Stadium of Light in midweek, drawing that game 0-0 with Sunderland. Still unbeaten since losing to Manchester United in mid-December. But with Chelsea dropping points, the only team that took advantage was Manchester City. We'll come on to them shortly. But that was a frustrating draw for Spurs.
Yeah, it was. And you know, they had a great result, great performances against them. Was it Chelsea that they beat last month and then they followed it by Barca and West Brom? But rather sluggish performances against City and Sunderland. And you're beginning to think, God, it's not back to flaky Tottenham again. We know how this game's going to go, you know, because every Middlesbrough game goes the same way. I mean, if one of their players gets in the opposition half, they have to ask for directions the way back because they just don't attack. And they're going to be camped out. And it's whether Tottenham will break them down. And a flying Tottenham would break them down. But I'm not so sure at the moment. And Middlesbrough have gone to big clubs away from home and taken points. You know, Arsenal, I think they got a draw. Manchester City, they got a draw. It's within their compass to get a draw at Tottenham. I don't like backing Tottenham at 1-4. They should be gimmies, but they're not because it's Tottenham. You know what I'll do? Just to play safe here, I'm going on the under 2.5 goals, which will surprise nobody. Because Tottenham, I'm not sure Tottenham are a team that's going to, if they were to win this game, I'm not sure they're going to muller Middlesbrough because Middlesbrough don't get mullered.
Yeah, under 2.5 goals, by the way, odds against as well at 11-10. Premier League away games involving Middlesbrough this season, just 20 goals, which is 5 fewer than any other side's matches. So we know exactly, Tom, how Middlesbrough are going to set up. They're going to try and frustrate Spurs. And Sunderland managed it midweek. Can Borough, Tom?
But I think they can frustrate them. I think ultimately they're not going to come away from White Hart Lane with anything. And I think it's more with the discontent, you know, up at Middlesbrough. And that's got to be seeping into the squad now. And I think they're in for a rocky end to the season. I don't know whether Karanka has found a late two-week beach holiday that he's booked for March. And he wants to be out of the job because he's almost doing everything he can to antagonise and rile the owner there, Steve Gibson, who is without question, you know, the most loyal and down-to-earth and steady owner in the Premier League. But, you know, he's criticised the fans. He's then had a pop at the board this week. He casts an incredibly frustrated figure. And it's more frustration, I think, at himself that he's not getting more out of this squad of players. You know, the stuff he said this week about the signings that they made, and, you know, he said, you know, they signed Patrick Bamford and he's moaned about signing players from the Championship and not Premier League players. And obviously Middlesbrough were beaten to quite a few targets. And I think Middlesbrough have always had a problem attracting some players when they go head-to-head for someone like Snodgrass, for example. They ended up losing out. So I think generally at Middlesbrough there is, you know, a little bit of frustration. And the players, you know, it's all very well being a defensive side, you know, and getting results. And the players will do anything to make sure that they're Premier League players next season. But there does come a point where players don't enjoy that. It's not fun for them. It's not enjoyable. And I know they're there to do a job, but I think it's going to crack at some point at Middlesbrough. And Spurs aren't playing well, but I don't think all is well at the Middlesbrough camp. But I still think they're well-drilled enough, based on what I've seen this season away from home at some big sides, that they're going to do enough to just cause problems for Tottenham. And I think with it, when you see a team like Middlesbrough go to a team like Tottenham that aren't absolutely firing, but still have enough, you'd feel that are going to get over the line. You know, I think there's a few ways in here. I'm looking at the double result, draw Tottenham at 3-1, you know, get to half-time with that draw. And also, you know, Tottenham to win by a goal is something I can see happening in this game. I can't see Middlesbrough scoring, but I can see Tottenham certainly leaving it late to find a breakthrough. But Tottenham by a goal and a handicap tie is 11-4. You know, I don't mind that. And I think if you're really thinking there's something in Spurs drawing in midweek to Sunderland, even with a few injuries that they had, then Middlesbrough plus a couple of goals at 10-11. But ultimately, Tottenham are going to win. And I'll probably have a look at a goal scorer bet as well with Son as well. I like the look of him. And I think he might take his chance if he starts.
6-5, Heung-min Son to score any time. 4-1 to score the first goal in the game. Do check the team news ahead of Spurs versus Middlesbrough. On to Sunday's TV matches. And Man City versus Swansea is first up. Man City 2-9 to win this match. The draw 11-2 with Swansea 14-1. I'll pick out a couple of enhanced odds offers. Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 29-20. That's now 7-4. And Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 22-1, now 28-1. If only Manchester City could play West Ham every single week at the London Stadium, Tom, they'd be happy. They now lead on aggregate 12-1 against the Hammers this season. And Derek mentioned it after the FA Cup clash, how much the players talked about enjoying playing at the London Stadium, wide open spaces for them to exploit, and they did it again midweek. But Swansea have turned things around. Paul Clement's come in, and it's been a good start. 3 wins in 4 in the Premier League. And they might not be going to Manchester City with expectation, Tom, but they'll be going there with a little bit of positivity now.
Oh, I think they'll be going there confident that they can get something. I really do. You know, whether they can or not is down to opinion, obviously. But I don't think the Swansea players within that camp, they'll feel they've got anything to fear against Man City. That fear factor has completely gone for City. And I know that the City, you know, the last few matches, including that FA Cup game, right, they scored 7 goals in 2 away games against Palace and West Ham. It's not anything to get too excited about. And at home, this is not, you know, if you look at Manchester City's recent scorelines at home, this is not the Manchester City of previous seasons. 2-0, 2-1 against Arsenal, 2-1 against Burnley, 2-2 against Spurs. They put in a performance now, for me, maybe 1 in every 4 games. And it's whether you can strike it, you know, and predict it, which time it's going to come. And they're up against the Swansea side now, who the confidence will be surging through them. You know, we've never felt that Swansea were a bad side throughout the whole course of this season. You know, even when they were losing games, you know, they were going down the Emirates and they were scoring 2. You know, they were scoring goals away from home. They were scoring goals at home. But ultimately, they defensively, they were so poor. And that's where Paul Clement has really sort of improved things. And they're tighter. And there's, you know, if you look at Premier League away days, I think most teams would fancy their chances of grabbing a goal at Manchester City at the very least. you know, and causing a few issues because it's not an intimidating place. And I think looking at Manchester City's home defensive record, looking at Swansea City away from home, they've scored, what, in 8 of their 11 away games? They've not kept a clean sheet since that opening day win against Burnley. But I think they're good for a goal here. The question I suppose you're asking is, you know, Man City at 2-9, I don't want to be touching. I want something pro-Swansea here. And I don't mind them on the draw no bet. 14-1 is a huge, huge price. But I'm willing to take it simply because I can't trust Man City. And I think Swansea are a much improved side. And I think the price is bigger. I expected it, given what they did at Anfield, to be a little bit shorter. Look, ultimately, Man City have got too much quality. But I'm with Swansea on this one because I can't find anything pro-Man City that I want to be backing.
If you do just like Swansea to score in the game, over half a Swansea goal is available at 3-4. So that's just Swansea to score in this match against Manchester City. Derek, both these teams, impressive performance from Manchester City, we mentioned, and Swansea have done well, backing up their outstanding win at Anfield with a 2-1 win against Southampton at the Liberty. And Gylfi Sigurdsson's really been talismanic for them for the last couple of years now, Derek.
Yeah, he's a sensational player. And I remember there was a story in the papers about a few months ago saying Tottenham should never, you know, Tottenham was sad they ever got rid of him. Yeah, he's top-notch. I mean, a lovely stat before this, doing a bit of research before this game. City have only won 2 of their last 12 Premier League games played on a Sunday. I mean, who comes up with stats like that? That's incredible, isn't it? A team like City's only won 2 of 12. They must prefer the Saturdays, especially that filthy looking blonde one. I think, you know what, everything you say about Swansea, Tom, is right. But I was saying this 3 or 4 weeks ago about them. They weren't that bad. They're not that bad a team. I don't, you know, they were getting so much stick. But they've taken the Laughingstock label off their head now and placed it neatly on Sunderland. I think they're a good side, Swansea. Okay, I'm not saying they're not going to finish in the top half. But they're well good enough to get away from the relegation zone. And some of their recent results, we hark back to that Liverpool one. But let's not forget they won at Palace as well, beating Southampton recently. And even against Arsenal when they lost 4-0. You know, for much of that game, they were bang in it. It wasn't a bad performance by any means. You know what? City are 2-9. And if you look at the way they played against West Ham, I mean, you know, they should walk this. But if you're getting gifted possession in the final third, like City were by West Ham on so many occasions, you're going to cause riot. You're going to run riot. And that's exactly what they did. I think they'll find this one harder. What I'm saying is 2-9 City makes zero appeal because they have got a soft centre. But I think it's inexplicable the difference between 2-9 City to win or 8-5 City to win with both sides scoring. That's a massive difference in price. And you can see Swansea scoring because that's what they do. So that's the bet I'm having. City to win, but Swansea to score.
You made me Google the Saturdays, Derek, and click at images there, which are on the work computer as well, Derek.
What did you Google? The filthy-looking blonde one?
I just went with the Saturdays, Derek. I don't want to get fired just yet. Man City versus Swansea then. 2-9 City. Draw 11-2. Swansea 14-1. Leicester versus Manchester United at the King Power is the last of the TV games this weekend. Leicester 9-2 to win the game. The draw 11-4. Man United 7-10. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 8-1, now 10-1. And Henrik Mkhitaryan to score and Manchester United to win was 23-10, now 3-1. Derek, it could happen. Leicester only 2 points clear of the relegation zone after another loss on Tuesday night against Burnley. 3 straight Premier League defeats without scoring for Leicester. Manchester United have drawn 3 straight games, though, after establishing a decent run without dropping points. And even though they're unbeaten in 14 Premier League matches, which is the longest current run in the big 5 European leagues, they've drawn 7 of those, Manchester United, and that's taken them out of the title race.
Yeah, it has. But how many chances have I given to Leicester this season? I've looked to chump every game. They're unrecognisable, and it's just players who think they've done all the hard work. We've won the league, you know, we can rest the season. I mean, the form of Jamie Vardy, it's inexplicable. Last season, what a breath of fresh air he was. I loved watching him. He was a sensation. And this season, he doesn't look like a footballer. He looks as though his mind's elsewhere. I cannot believe the difference in one player. Is it, you know, would the signing a new contract and set up for life make that much of a difference on a player? It certainly seems that way. And, you know, to be honest, I mentioned that Arsene Wenger's been getting an easy ride. Well, that guy's been getting an easy ride because he hasn't tried a leg this season, it seems. Sensational player last season, but this time around. I've got to go for United here, just under the even money mark, because I watch Leicester now and I don't see any plan. I don't see any confidence. I don't see any player playing anywhere near the way they played last season. It's got to be United, even though they are not the team I thought they were. I was giving them a big write-up a few weeks ago. I thought I was ahead of the game by saying this is going to be Chelsea's biggest title threat. But since then, they've dropped points after points. The manager looked all at sea. The players seem to be lacking a bit in confidence. I'm taking a bit of a risk here because they're not a team at the moment that you want to be trusting their odds on. But Leicester looked there for the taking. So I'm going to go for United. It's just under the even money mark.
7-10 Manchester United to win the game. Mentioned Jamie Vardy there, Derek. And I think, Tom, with Vardy, he's like the man that's climbed Everest and then thought, well, that's it now, and just thrown himself off.
Well, yeah, you know, I pointed out earlier in the season when I turned on the TV in the morning and I'm watching him in his back garden of his mock Tudor mansion playing football with Piers Morgan. I'm thinking the game's gone. It's absolutely gone. I mean, you know, it was always going to happen. It's because, Leicester weren't a 5,000-to-1 shot. They were a 1,000,000-to-1 shot. You know, everything that came round for them last season, as soon as it started to fall to pieces, this was probably going to be the inevitable result. And, you know, I said it last week, but Ranieri doesn't know how to solve this problem now. He's got absolutely zero idea. The recruitment has not been good enough. And, you know, generally, I think all Leicester fans are still walking around in a little bit of a daze. I might be talking for all of them here, but, you know, I think they're still on cloud nine from last season, which I understand. It'd be the same if it was my team doing that. So, you know, everyone keeps saying, oh, Leicester aren't out of it. They're in trouble. And I still think there's been an air from them that, no, it'll be fine. But I'm looking at mistake after mistake. I'm looking at players that maybe are wishing that they had made a move when they could have and didn't. There's a lot for Leicester to kind of sort out here. But this game, for me, is not really about Leicester. It's about Manchester United. And it's actually about about them putting on a performance that actually suggests they are up to the challenge of being in that top four this season. You know, I still think they've got a good chance. But they've dropped so many points now. They've drawn so many games that they should really have been winning, no more so than the game in midweek. And again, Mourinho I still don't think that side is fluent in any way whatsoever. And it goes for a lot of the challenges behind Chelsea. And, you know, I've got to be with Manchester United here because I cannot be with Leicester. But I think there'll be a few goals in this game. I can't trust either defence again. You know, how many teams do we talk about in the Premier League where we think, well, they're always likely to concede, but they've got a bit of firepower. And I think Leicester, in this kind of match, you know, I think they can cause Manchester United some problems. I certainly think they can get on the score sheet. I don't think it'll be like the Man City game and they're suddenly going to produce a victory. But I think they'll probably rise to this occasion as well. You know, the big game, the focus is on them. But they need a result, and I still don't think they realise that they're in a scrap. So I think there's goals in this one. I'm going to go for Manchester United and over 2.5 goals. And I also think, looking at the way Leicester have conceded goals, you also play Manchester United, both teams, to score at 3-1, which I think is good. But I also think that the way Leicester have been conceding goals, particularly kind of set pieces, I think Zlatan will awake from his slumber in this game as well. 23-20, I don't think it's a bad price for him any time. Just because he's gone off the boil, and you get a bit of a boosted price than you would have maybe a month ago.
That's one of the enhanced odds offers. Well, one of them involving Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Ibrahimovic to score, Manchester United to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 5-1 here with William Hill. On to Saturday's 3 p.m. Kickoffs, and we'll start with Watford versus Burnley. Watford 23-20, the draw 9-4, Burnley in the market at 11-4. Tom, we know that Burnley are Jekyll at home and Hyde away. Another home win at a big price against Leicester midweek, although they left it late. They've only picked up 1 point in their 10 Premier League away games this season and scored just 4 goals in those matches. Surely they've got to win away from home at some point, Tom.
That's what we keep telling ourselves, and I think this is as good a chance as any. I know Watford beat Arsenal in midweek, but I'm still not having them as a good side. You could see the celebrations from them, that it was almost disbelief. They didn't go there thinking that they were going to win the game, or they didn't go there thinking we've been playing well and this has been a result that's coming. There was shock on Walter Mazzarri's face and his coaching staff. I mean, absolute disbelief. They looked like a cup, you know, a third division side that had gone to Arsenal and won in the FA Cup. And I think that spells danger signs for me. I'm just not having Watford in anyway, and nothing's going to change my mind despite that victory. You know, I know people will look at just one defeat, and that was in the cup against Millwall in their last five matches. And at home, you know, only Tottenham have gone there recently and stuffed them, really. You know, they've beaten Everton, but they've drawn with Palace and Middlesbrough, and they managed to beat Burton Albion. Well, big deal. Burnley, it is going to turn around for them. There's an argument to be made right now that Sean Dyche is manager of the year. I mean, I know they're suddenly starting to spend some money, and they have done, so they're not little old Burnley, but still, comparatively, their budget and what he's managed to do is just incredible. And the lessons that they learned from last time they're in the Premier League, they've come back a much stronger team. It won't be long before Sean Dyche will be targeted for another job because he's done sensational. They're in the top half of the table. They're going to cruise to 40 points this season, and they're going to finish very comfortably. And if they do that, they'll have a lot of people, eating their predictions, including myself. But I think it is going to turn at some point, and I think this is the one. I look at Burnley away from home. We've talked about them before, that actually, recent away matches, they've not done too bad. I know they've been beat. I know they keep losing games, but 2-1 at Arsenal, 2-1 at Man City, 2-1 at Tottenham, 1-0 at West Ham, and a 0-0 at Sunderland. That was in the cup. I think it's going to turn at some point, and as I say, I want to be on Burnley against what I will keep continuing to oppose Watford, unless they go on a 9-game winning run, and then I'll suddenly change my tune. But Burnley at 11-4, I'm going to take them because I think Watford will think, oh well, that's it. The win at Arsenal, we've kind of done our job now. They haven't, and it is going to turn. And I want to be with Burnley when it happens.
You mentioned Burnley safe as well, Tom. Only one team in Premier League history has ever been relegated with 29 or more points after 23 games, which is what Burnley have right now. That was Norwich back in 94-95. It's never happened since the Premier League was extended to 20 teams. So Burnley, Derek, they can start playing with a little bit of freedom, and hopefully for Burnley fans that will translate with away performances as well as performances at Turf Moor.
Exactly. They're too good a side, Burnley, not to win away from home. They are going to win away from home between now and the end of the season, and this, probably looking at the fixtures, is probably the easiest one. You'd have fancied them a lot more before midweek and that Watford win over Arsenal. I mean, that could kickstart a Watford revival. But I keep saying that they are, in my eyes, Watford are the worst team in the division. I've seen them about five or six times, and I can't believe how bad they are. And Burnley, the opposite. All those home games they won, none of them were flukes. Maybe the Liverpool one, They won early in the season, 2-0. They've won well. They've been the better side in most of them. 11-4, almost 3-1 to win at Watford. It's too good. Far too good. Could well be my bet of the weekend.
I like it as well a lot. 11-4 Burnley to win that game against Watford. On to Palace versus Sunderland. Crystal Palace 4-6 to win the match. The draw is 14-5 with Sunderland in the market at 9-2. The enhanced odds, Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win, was 6-4, now 2-1. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. Palace got their first Premier League win under Sam Allardyce on Tuesday night, winning 2-0 at the Vitality against Bournemouth. While Sunderland picked up what could have been classed as a valuable point against Spurs, but unfortunately for them, Derek, the teams around them won. So Sunderland lost ground on Tuesday night, which was a shame for them because equipped themselves pretty well against Liverpool.
Against
Tottenham, I do apologise.
Yeah, well, they did against Liverpool about a few weeks ago as well.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, 92 Sunderland to beat Palace, I think it's a great bet. I'm not getting fooled by Palace's win in midweek because they played a Bournemouth side who are just so lacking in confidence right now. In fact, so bad that even at the 4-1 to win at Everton this weekend, and I won't be touching them because when a side loses confidence the way they have, they're there to be opposed. And so I'm not getting fooled by Palace's win. And Sunderland, there is something about them, isn't there? I mean, I wouldn't want to be a Sunderland fan, A, the bottom of the league, and B, they're shocking to watch. But those results against Tottenham and Liverpool, they shouldn't be getting results like that. They shouldn't be able to give performances like that, being rooted at the foot of the division. But they were impressive on both occasions. And you don't have to do much to beat Palace these days. 9-2 is too big, far too big, and I'll be backing them.
9-2 Sunderland to win the game, Tom.
There's no way these two sides should be the prices they are. I mean, over the last 10 games, they've picked up exactly the same amount of points. So in my eyes, there's not a lot between these two sides. But I think people still look at Palace with Sam Allardyce there, with the players that they've brought in, the money that they've spent. I mean, even Sacco coming in does bring them a little bit of reinforcement, and a you know, supposedly tough guy at the back. But I think it's going to take more than that. I mean, you know, Sam Allardyce has been back. They spent money. Sunderland and David Moyes. I do feel a little bit for David Moyes. I think if he could go back to the summer and have his time again, I don't think he'd take the Sunderland job. I think it's a lot tougher than he first envisaged. And he hasn't been out of strength on this side. And whereas Sam Allardyce has been given a backing. But Palace are way, way too short here. Again, with Derek, you know, they beat Bournemouth, yeah, fair enough. But Bournemouth are struggling a little bit. I've got to go for something pro-Sunderland here based on the prices. The double chance, Sunderland or draw at 21-20. Or Sunderland drawn a bet at 11-4 because, you know, I still can't be touching Crystal Palace. They may well win and it'll be a huge victory for them to pull them well clear of Sunderland. But if Sunderland win, it keeps Palace right in the relegation mix. So it's a huge game. It's one that Sunderland, they have to get something from. If they lose, I think it's all over for them.
They do have Wilfred Zaha back now, Crystal Palace. I know he's had his critics in the past, chaps, but Derek is a player that I really like, Zaha, and I think they've definitely missed him.
Yeah, on his day, I mean, he looked a complete player. When he's flying, he really is flying. But sometimes you look at him and you think, this guy's not trying a leg. And I remember, wasn't there a story in one of the papers recently, a former teammate of his was saying he named his lazy 11 and Wilfred Zaha was in it. Zaha got a right cob on over that. But that's the impression I get from him. On his going days, you know, he's sensational. But when he's bad, he's horrid.
West Brom versus Stoke next at the Hawthorns. West Brom 13-10, the draw 11-5, Stoke 12-5. Enhanced odds, Nasser Chadli to score and West Brom to win was 19-5, now 5-1. And Peter Crouch to score and Stoke to win was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Tony Pulis derby here. Only been on the losing side as a manager once in 12 Premier League matches between West Brom and Stoke. And that was when he was beaten by Roy Hodgson's West Brom back in January 2012. Obviously knows these clubs very well. And Tommy, you mentioned Peter Crouch earlier as well. He's scored in 4 of his last 5 Premier League matches now. That coming after a run of 21 appearances in the Premier League without a goal. So he's definitely enjoying his purple patch, Crouchy.
Yeah, and you know, at one stage, I mean, in the summer and last January, there was a lot of clubs, you know, in the Championship and other Premier League clubs probably looking at him and thinking he could do a job. I listened to him midweek and he was talking about how he thinks he could play for another few years in the Premier League. I actually think he could do because he's right. He's never, you know, had great mobility. It's not what he's needed, you know, in his game. And, you know, he's kind of a nice guy at football. It's very difficult to find anybody who doesn't like Peter Crouch, and he kind of gives hope for a lot of people, I think. And he's a very good footballer. You know, people look at his goal-scoring record and say, well, look, it's taken him a long time to get there. But how many goals did Jermaine Defoe get off Peter Crouch at Portsmouth and at Tottenham? And, you know, he made some moves that probably made it a little bit more difficult for him. But it's interesting now, a manager like Mark Hughes, you know, he signs Wilfred Bony. You know, he's obviously got inside Oberhino now. But he still had to sort of go back to Peter Crouch because there's nobody quite like him in the Premier League. Andy Carroll is the closest, but he's still a different kind of player. So, you know, this is a tricky match for me. It's a tricky one to call. When I look at both sides' form, you can't really get a handle on anybody. I mean, Stoke have you know, struggled a little bit away from home recently, but they've played Arsenal, Liverpool and Chelsea. They've beaten Sunderland and Watford, which are teams probably more well, obviously below them in terms of Sunderland, but Watford, of course, were around about that mid-table position when they went there. And West Brom at home are a complete freak, really. You know, completely West Brom-like scorelines. You know, West Brom to win and both teams to score would have been a very profitable selection in most of West Brom's home matches this season. And I can maybe see something similar here. You know, I think Stoke are a little bit lost in mid-table. I think the idea for them and the money that they spent and Mark Hughes coming in was to push them towards the top six. But they never really looked close enough to it. They're a good side. They're a competent side. And they're much better than at least 10 Premier League outfits. But they're going to West Brom here. And West Brom's home form is probably as good over the last few months as anybody. They've won 5 of the last 6 matches in the league at home. And they were only beaten by Manchester United in a game they never turned up in. Whereas I can't really trust Stoke away from home. So I'm going to stick with a bet I've backed a few times with West Brom at the Hawthorns. I think they'll fancy their chances of winning the game. And I'll back them to win and both teams to score at 4-1.
They've actually already scored 21 Premier League goals at home this season, West Brom. They only managed 20 throughout the whole of last season. So that goes back to what you were saying, Tom, about them being a different animal at home this season.
The
Rondon factor, yeah. Even though he's not scored in a while. Derek, what are your views on this game?
Yeah, you look at those West Brom results at home now, and I think I'm right in saying virtually all of them are against sides below them, way below them, or badly out of form sides. I don't think that, you know, against the bigger teams, the better teams, it's so rosy, their record. I mean, you mentioned Crouch. Did I read that he scored 100, was it 100 Premier League goals? Did I read early this week? Yeah. Unbelievable achievement, but his most unbelievable was getting Abbey into bed. I don't think he'll ever beat that. I'll have to go for a draw here. We mentioned that Stoke-Everton game in midweek. Look, nailed on a draw. You know, some games stand out, and you think both sides will be happy with that. And the same here. They're not going to go up. They're not going to go down. You know, they're going to finish. These two sides are going to finish roughly where they are now. Maybe Stoke might just finish above West Brom. Just looks a nailed on draw, a result that both sides would be fairly chuffed with.
On to Southampton versus West Ham. Southampton odds on 3-4 to win this game. The draw 11-4. West Ham 4-1. Manolo Gabbiadini to score and Southampton to win was 9-4. Now 3-1. And Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 13-2. And that's been enhanced to 8-1. We talked about West Ham earlier on in the podcast being badly beaten by Manchester City at the London Stadium once again, beaten 4-0 midweek, having been thrashed by them 5-0 in the Cup. But Southampton, Derek, were beaten 2-1 by Swansea on Tuesday and remain difficult to predict. And we've seen West Ham bounce back from those bad losses with good performances, yeah. Derek. So I wouldn't rule them out here.
No, that's it. That's the story of West Ham's season. Just when you think, God, oh, could it get any worse for them? And, you know, these are going to be in trouble. Bilic, the manager's in trouble. And then he bounced back with a great result that comes from nowhere. And the 4-1 to beat the Southampton side, that's, you know, pretty much similar. They blow hot and cold. It's yet again, I look at Southampton's price with William Hill and I'm scratching my head. What is it? What is it your odds compilers have got? I've Southampton got incriminating photos of your odds compilers or something because they just love them. I'm not having them. I'm not having Southampton here. Okay, West Ham have been softened up by that, you know, hammering by Man City. But there were reasons for that. I mean, if you're going to give Man City acres of space to play in like you do at the London Stadium, they love it. That's Man City's, the course and distance winners. You know, that's their favourite track. West Ham will be different at Southampton. I mean, because they are a capable side. They're no mugs and they shouldn't be 4-1 to be Southampton. End of.
4-1 West Ham for Derek. All the talk about West Ham this season has revolved around Dimitri Payet and him not performing and that saga, Tom. But they've had problems defensively, really. They've conceded 40 Premier League goals this season after 23 games. It took them 32 games to concede that many last season. I know they were good last season, but it's not all been about Dimitri Payet not performing.
No, it's, you know, teams that struggle more often than not, it is about, you know, defensively, how bad they've been. And it's amazing how many teams in the Premier League, this has been a story for a number of years, because, you know, you look at how many teams are bad defensively. How many times do we look at a game and think, well, they're likely to concede a goal? And how come when we look at the Premier League and maybe you're looking at the top three or four teams, if any of them need a centre-back, it used to be years ago, there might have been 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, good centre-backs that maybe, you know, in playing in the Premier League that could have walked into a top 4 or 5 team. Now there's basically Van Dijk. I mean, that's the only one that people are looking at outside the top 4 or 5 clubs that could probably walk into those teams. And there's a real lack of quality there. I mean, Winston Reid's probably their best defender. And they have struggled. They've struggled defensively. There is certainly a little bit more unity about them. And away from home, I think West Ham are a team that enjoy their football away from home better. I know some people dismiss the London Stadium and the problems that that's caused to them. But I think it's so clear that they're not comfortable at home yet. And I think that's why away from home, of late, they've had some decent results. Draws at Manchester United and Liverpool, a thumping victory against, albeit a poor Swansea side. Okay, they lost to Leicester and they beat Middlesbrough out of canter as well by 3-1. And I think on the counter-attack, I think they're really going to enjoy this game against the Southampton side, who are as inconsistent. But it's a Southampton side that have won 5 of their 11 home matches. So how can you bat them to win at 3-4? I don't care who they're playing against. That is a team that's not converting enough of their home games into victories, which is why, like Derek, I have to side with West Ham here. And I think Andy Carroll, again, is a kind of player that can cause them problems. And they've got a few injuries, Southampton as well. You know, people like Van Dijk, Rodriguez, Ward-Prowse, Charlie Austin continues to be injured. So I think they've got more problems than West Ham, and I think West Ham will win the game.
Carroll to score and West Ham to win at 8-1, big price. West Ham to win the game at 4-1 for both Derek and for Tom. Hull versus Liverpool next at the KCOM at 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Hull 13-2, the draw 7-2 with Liverpool 4-9. Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win was 10-1, now 12-1. And Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 13-8, now 2-1. Hull have definitely improved under Marco Silva, Tom. Something you mentioned on the podcast on Monday, they had, but that hadn't been borne out in their results yet. They got a big point, a big performance at Old Trafford midweek as well. And they had the chance to win that game, Tom. Mm. Unlucky not to grab all three in the end.
Very much so. You know, they have hugely improved. And again, we talk about the defensive side of the game for Hull. You know, it looks far stronger, especially, you know, the players that have left the club. It seems to me that within the squad, you know, around the club at Hull, there are big problems. You know, the fans are discontented. The crowds are low at home. But within the squad, and it kind of stems back to the summer when they had about 14 senior players going into the new season. You know, they've signed some players. I just think generally there's a decent feeling around Hull. And it's a strange one, really, because, you know, the results at home have been good. You know, in all competitions, they've won three on the bounce, beaten Swansea, Bournemouth and Manchester United, albeit FA Cup and league games in there, and they drew with Everton. If they can kind of take a little bit of that forward, then they've got an opportunity, a snip of staying up. I still think they're going to go down because ultimately their squad isn't going to be good enough. And a few key injuries, someone like Curtis Davies, for example, huge blow for them midweek, getting injured because he's been a key player for them and he's out for a good few weeks. So that's an issue. This game is probably more about Liverpool than Hull in a way. Do you think that Liverpool, with a performance and a point against Chelsea, does it turn them around to a point that you think, yeah, they can go on another run? And at 4-9, does your money want to be resting on a Liverpool side against an improved Hull? I don't know. This is a tricky game for me. It really is. Liverpool have failed to beat recently Sunderland, Plymouth, Swansea, Southampton, and Wolves. You know, I know. You know, a lot of those games were at home, but they've got a mental block, Liverpool, against teams like Hull and in games like this, and that is what concerns me. But Hull at 13-2, although it's a big price, there's something about it that I don't think they've got enough quality either to win the game, because I think Liverpool will score one, maybe even two goals. So I'm going to cover myself here. I think the draw at 7-2 looks decent, but with the price that you're getting on Hull on the outright, I think 9-2 on the draw no bet is where I want to go. I'm just going to play it a little bit safer than back in Hull, but I'm still not in a position where I want to be having too much resting on Liverpool.
Okay, Hull draw no bet is 9-2, 4-9 Liverpool. Derek, it takes a leap of faith to back a side that only have one win in nine at 4-9. Derek,
it's the worst price of all time. It really is. Worst, well, apart from whatever I pay for my car. it's shocking. This is a team I saw last. Just those that roll call of teams that Tom just mentioned. And they're away from home against an improving side and the 4-9. And honestly, God, the only punters back in them will be clowns because it's a terrible price. I'm not getting fooled by that second half performance against Chelsea. Liverpool had to do something after the run they'd had. And Chelsea seemed to me to ease off a little bit. I think it was more to do with Chelsea, that performance by Liverpool in the second half. I've been at Anfield in recent weeks and they've been shocking. They've been, you know, they've been beaten by bad teams. And they've been outplayed by bad teams. That's how bad it is at Liverpool at the moment. I'm sure Klopp will get things right. You can't write them off after 3 weeks. But there's warning signs there. And I actually think Hull at 13-2 is a tremendous bet. They've had a terrible season. We know that. That's why they're in the relegation zone. But those two matches against Man United in the EFL Cup, that showed you what they're about, Hull. Massively improving side. And they gave United a real fright in both of those matches. I think they're a decent side to go and play as Hull, and they'll beat Liverpool. I'm actually convinced they'll beat Liverpool.
What was the atmosphere like, Derek, at Anfield?
In midweek, I didn't go to the Chelsea game. I was working. But in previous weeks, it's not been good. It really hasn't been good.
Okay, Hull versus Liverpool. Hull 13-2, draw 7-2. Liverpool in the betting at 4-9. To Goodison for the final match on the podcast. Everton versus Bournemouth. And Everton are 8-11 to win this match. The draw 14-5. Bournemouth in the betting at 4-1. Enhanced odds. Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win was 13-5, now 3-1. And Benik Afobe to score and Bournemouth to win was 7-1. That's been enhanced to 9-1. Derek, I think we're going to see a really entertaining game here. I think this could be the game of the week. Everton are playing well at the moment, unbeaten in six in the Premier League. come into this on the back of that 1-1 draw with Stoke. And Bournemouth have hit the skids a little bit recently. And in the reverse fixture, incidentally, Bournemouth scored with their only shot on target and won the game 1-0. So that proves that results can be deceiving occasionally. Everton 8-11 to win this one, Derek.
You know what? I'm going to change my betting habits of a lifetime for this game, mainly because the betting habits of a lifetime haven't done me much good so far. Everton, I know, are too short to win this game. 8-11 is too short, Everton. But I'm going to back them because I just can't. I've got to oppose Bournemouth. You say they've got the wheels have fallen off silently. I think they've fallen off big time. They just don't seem to know when they're going to get another result. The manager's even talking with a defeatist attitude. The players seem to have lost in confidence. They're allowing Crystal Palace to beat them in midweek. A Crystal Palace side that, in my eyes, aren't playing for the manager. That's as bad as it gets for Bournemouth. Now, you know, on their day, I've seen some good performances from Bournemouth. You know, and on their day, they could go to Everton and you'd be thinking, yeah, 4-1, that looks a tidy price for them. But not now. They're there to be opposed right now. And Everton, you're right, they are building up a head of steam. Ronald Koeman seems to be getting things right there. The fans who have been on their backs for much of the season, it's been a prickly atmosphere at Goodison. They're getting on side again now. And it just seems to me, this is a match that Everton have made a habit of winning. I'll be backing them at 8-11 here, even though I know that it's too short.
Tom?
I think Everton scored quite a few goals here. You know, I was looking at Bournemouth's away results of late, and there's not been many victories. There was a victory at Swansea, which they, you know, Swansea were in that little transitional period, but they conceded 3 at Arsenal, conceded 3 at Burnley, conceded 3 at Chelsea, and conceded 3 at Hull City. So this is a team that have scored in quite a few of those matches, but can't stop conceding goals away from home. They're too open away from home, Bournemouth, and they're in a bit of a crossroads at the moment. I think Eddie Howe's got to change something. And I don't think he's sure what right now. And I think Everton will take full advantage. And Everton in their last two home matches, you know, they've scored 3 and 4. So Everton over 2.5 goals here is 5-2. And I like it an awful lot. I was also reading something on Twitter that I think the last 6 goals Bournemouth have conceded, 5 of them have been crosses and headers. So they have got a real problem dealing with balls into the penalty area. And who in the Premier League is exceptionally good at, you know, dealing with balls that are coming in and attacking them? It's Romelu Lukaku. He's 21-20 any time at the moment. You know, he's on a little bit of a dry himself, but 12 goals already this season. I'll be backing him any time all day long. But I think Everton win the game, and I'll back them to score over 2.5 goals against this leaky Bournemouth team at 5-2.
Very good. Everton 8-11. The draw 14-5. Bournemouth in the betting at 4-1. And now then, chaps, let's pull our socks up and nail a winning treble. We're in the relegation zone at the moment, chaps, so we need to do something. Derek, what's your best bet this weekend?
Right, you know, in our preview of the Watford-Burnley game, one thing we didn't mention was, of course, the reverse fixture when Burnley out-muscled and bullied Watford. Remember that game was done on a Monday night? I just came to mind as we were talking. You know, the same MO, I think, will happen. 11-4 Burnley. I've got to buy. They are going to get an away win, and this is their best chance. 11-4 Burnley for me to win at Watford.
Tom?
I really like that. Really, really like it. I like Everton to beat Bournemouth, but at the price, I've got to go for Chelsea to beat Arsenal. I think it's a gift.
19-20 Chelsea. I'm going for the draw in the West Brom Stoke game at 11-5. I think, I think you mentioned it, Derek, earlier. That looks to have draw written all over it, and I agree. So 22.4-1. Burnley to win at Watford, Chelsea to beat Arsenal, and the draw in the West Brom Stoke game, 22.4-1, the treble. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Tom, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast as well. Download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill and check out all the betting right now on the William Hill website. And don't forget, hashtag your odds available for all the televised Premier League games this weekend. Just tweet your bet to @WilliamHill. With the hashtag your odds, and our compilers will attempt to price it up. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and myself, Derek and Tom will be back next weekend.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.